Hello and welcome to Digital Insights, featuring topics from the BoagWorld.com blog. My name is Paul Boag, and on this podcast I offer advice on user experience and digital transformation. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about analysis paralysis. Whether you know it as analysis paralysis or choice paralysis or even decision paralysis, we've all encountered it both personally and on the sites we run. In fact, analysis paralysis and choice paralysis are slightly different things, but they're deeply intertwined. The more choices you're faced with, the more likely you are to overanalyze the options available and the less likely you are to act. It's a problem beautifully summed up by Hicks's law. The law states that there is a predictable increase in the time it takes someone to decide as the number of options goes up. What Hicks's law doesn't cover is the fact that at a certain point people give up. They're overwhelmed with the choice. And that's particularly problematic for us as we design websites because that point is lower online. It doesn't take much to conclude that it's just too much effort and it's easier just to go and make the decision later or give up and go to a competitor. So how can we prevent the problem of analysis paralysis? Well, the most obvious starting point is to limit the number of options available. A classic example of limiting choice comes from the experiment related to selling jam. A grocery store in California sets up a display to sell jams. At certain times, the stall has 6 flavors of jams to choose between, and at other times it has 24. The researchers behind the experiment saw a mere 4% conversion rate when offering 24 jams, compared to a 31% conversion rate when offering only 6. The experiment perfectly demonstrates the problem of analysis paralysis and makes the response obvious: limit the number of options. However, doing this is not always possible and may be outside of your control. Fortunately, when it comes to the web, we've got a little bit more flexibility than we do in a supermarket. If you're unable to reduce the number of options, you can hide some of the less popular ones. In other words, you could display 6 varieties of jams prominently on the homepage, but still have the remaining 18 flavors available deeper in the site for those that want to explore those options. But analysis paralysis is not just about the number of choices, it's also about how distinct those choices are from one another. Part of the problem with the jam experiment wasn't the number of choices, but that there weren't 24 clearly distinct varieties of jams. At a certain point, the distinction becomes too subtle for people, and that just makes the decision harder. We see this amongst website owners making a similar kind of mistake all the time. For a long time, for example, Wikipedia had a search box with 2 buttons associated with it, one labeled Go and one labeled Search. Go took you straight to the page related to your search query, while Search took you to the search results page. However, that distinction was too subtle for most users and it caused analysis paralysis. A more recent example is the Amazon mobile app on iOS. When you try to pre-order a product, they present you with 2 buttons. One button reads pre-order now and the other one reads pre-order today. And despite my best efforts, I can't tell you the difference between the two. The problem with subtle distinctions between choices is it adds complexity to the decision-making process, and that is something that we need to avoid if at all possible. Of course, some decisions are by their nature complicated. For example, buying a new car involves a plethora of choices from paint color to finance options. Equally, purchasing insurance online means comparing a complex variety of conditions, levels of cover, and excess. When it's not possible to simplify the decision any further, you can look at breaking that decision down into a process. In essence, you guide the user through the decision-making process, reducing the actions down into smaller, easier choices. The John Lewis website here in the UK does a good job of that when you go about purchasing a television. They provide advice to consumers about the different factors they should consider, allowing them to narrow down their selection based on the choices they make. However, if you do break down that decision-making process in that way, allow the users to save their progress and finish it at later date. There's no guarantee the user will be able to make a complex decision in a single sitting. By allowing them to save their progress, you increase the chance of them returning later. That said, you want to avoid drawn-out, complicated decisions if at all possible. That's because there's one aspect of our behavior that relates to analysis paralysis that I've yet to mention. The longer we take to make a decision, the more we lack confidence in the choice we make. However, this behaviour also offers a potential way of combating analysis paralysis. The faster we can encourage someone to make a choice, the less likely they are to overthink it and become paralysed by that choice. Now, there's a variety of techniques we can adopt to encourage this faster decision making, but we do need to proceed with caution. If we overly pressure people, they will see what we're doing as manipulative, and they could easily suffer from buyer's remorse afterwards. Both of these results are damaging, as consumers can undermine a brand through social media or negative reviews. However, there are ways of enabling people to make decisions faster by making those choices feel like no-brainer decisions. Price is one way of achieving this. The lower the price, the more likely people are to make an impulse purchase, involving very little thought, really. Another way is to offer some fantastic return policy. In both cases, you're reducing risk, which is a topic I cover in my guide on conversion rate optimization. Of course, an even better way of making the decision feel easier is to suggest that the users should pick a certain option. When faced with overwhelming choice, often the most effective way of encouraging users to make a decision is to suggest a course of action. The majority of e-commerce sites use this technique in some form of special offers section or staff favorites. However, although these suggestions go some way to alleviating analysis paralysis, they don't really connect with the user on an emotional level. Just because somebody sees special offers or a recommendation by staff doesn't mean it's right for them as an individual user. After all, today's astute customers know that suggestions like this often are more for the benefit of retailers than they are for themselves. Amazon uses a slightly more convincing approach on its homepage when it has a "What other customers are looking at right now" section. That works because we tend to follow the crowd in unfamiliar circumstances. Although suggestions are a useful way of easing analysis paralysis, sometimes it's possible to avoid asking users to choose at all. That's where good defaults come in. It's surprising how often we ask users to make decisions where we could do so ourselves. We tend to pass the responsibility to the user for two reasons. First, we become obsessed with edge cases. Even though we know that the majority of users will make one choice, we worry about the minority who might make a different choice. The problem with this mentality is that the user experience of the majority end up suffering to cater the needs of the few. Second, we believe that users want choice because that's what they say they want. It is in fact correct that users do want more options, and that's known as the choice paradox. People say they want choice, but when they receive it, they become paralyzed. So what's the solution? Am I proposing we ignore the minority for the sake of the majority? Not at all. Instead, we must default to the most common choice while allowing the option to customize. This principle applies not just to the selection of a product, but also to user interface choices. For example, many sites require users to select from a previous delivery address when they could just default to the last address used. Good defaults can actually reduce cognitive load on users while not taking away the choices available to them, and that's a powerful tool when it comes to overcoming analysis paralysis. Analysis paralysis is one of the most dangerous barriers to conversion, and so we need to work hard to reduce it. As you finish this post, I'd recommend you review your analytics and check any pages that have got a high exit rate. You may well find that these pages contain a choice that users are not prepared to make. Fixing that choice could make all the difference when it comes to conversion.